I'm C, and I am a compulsive overeater and 100-pounder. Thank you for the invitation to be here and for me to have an opportunity to stay abstinent one more day because sharing my story helps me. So I hope that someone is helped by what I have to say. One of the things that I love about our worldwide fellowship is the fact that we are unique. And although there are some parts of our stories that are the same, we come to it differently. And I had a medical appointment the other day. I'm extremely annoyed when they take my height because evidently I have shrunk to 5'9". And I'm quite annoyed about that because I was 5'10 and an eighth for a very long time. And I added a fraction because all of my short friends added fractions. I'm 5'2 and a half. I'm 5'3 and a quarter. So I said, I'm 5'10 and an eighth. So what does that have to do with anything? We get here when we get here, and we get here the ways that we get here. And I'm a 100-pounder. I came in here 130 pounds over a healthy body weight. So clearly that happened one bite at a time. But I have heard many stories since I've been here, and my abstinence date is 7/21/21. So I still consider myself a newcomer. I staggered in here in June of 2021 because everything that I had tried, everything I had done had failed. I am a really good dieter. By gosh, I know how to get weight off. Problem is that it kept finding me, it kept coming back, and I honestly couldn't figure out why that was happening. What I did finally figure out was that I could not do it on my own. I didn't. And so I came in here by way of decades in the beverage program. So I knew that the 12 steps worked. I had been clean and sober for a long time, but clearly I was still seeking ease and comfort. That part I did not get, and I had to be here for a while to understand that, although I had abstained from a lot of bad stuff because I have a disease of more. This is not my only issue. And no drugs, no booze, no sick relationships, no cigarettes, no 6 quarts of coffee a day. Yes, I did say 6 quarts of coffee a day. All of that was in the rear view, but I was still seeking ease and comfort, and I didn't even realize it. I couldn't connect that I was seeking ease and comfort with compulsive overeating. I have no childhood memories of reaching for food to soothe myself. Maybe I've just blocked it, but I've spent decades in therapy too. I don't have any memory of that. I certainly do have memories of food insecurity because I grew up as an only child with two very, very sick alcoholics, very sick people. A lot of violence, a lot of insecurity, a lot of instability. And from a very young age, I didn't know if either one of them was going to be paying attention, whether I'd get fed. So I learned how to make sure that there were certain simple things that a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old could do for herself. As long as those things were present in the house, I was good. I do not remember reaching for things, though, to soothe my feelings. By the time I got to what used to be junior high, because I'm old, it's middle school now, but it used to be junior high, something happened. I had a lot of pain in my back. And in the 60s and 70s, physicians were handing out Valium like it was candy. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. So at the base hospital, because my stepfather was Air Force, I got an open, refillable prescription for Valium. I never had to see a doctor again. All I had to do was take that big old bottle back to the base pharmacy. I really believe that one of the reasons that I didn't turn to food at that age is because I had Valium. I didn't know it was dry alcohol because that would come next in high school and then drugs. And as I said, I'm very tall and I was skinny for a long time. I was a model when I was younger. So I had other things that I was using instead of food. As a matter of fact, food was not an option. Back in the day, at my height, at 5'10 and an eighth, I could actually weigh 125, 130 pounds. Today, those women are 115 pounds at 5'10, which is kind of scary. So I was tall and skinny for a long time. I gained weight, a lot of weight for the first time when I got pregnant. I got pregnant in college. Dumb idea, but I had the baby and I gained a lot of weight during that pregnancy. But it all came off after the pregnancy. It came off very quickly. And then I didn't really struggle again with compulsive eating until years later. So fast forward to middle age. I am now alone. I went back to school, got a graduate degree, and I changed careers. That baby is now off to the Marine Corps. His dad and I were kaput a long time ago. I had found someone else, got married. That didn't work out. So I'm an empty nester and a second career with this newly minted graduate degree, and people were calling me one of the ones to watch. She's a rising star. Keep an eye on her. And all that fear, all that insecurity that I had kept at bay by working these steps to the best of my ability came back. It's like, I don't know where it had been hiding or laying low, but I used to really resent those old timers in the beverage program. While you're sitting here in these meetings, the disease was out in the parking lot doing push-ups, and I'm thinking, for crying out loud, just be quiet. My experience is that it's true. The disease is doing push-ups. As I am sitting here right now, looking at these Hollywood squares, it's doing push-ups, which is why I keep showing up at places like this on a regular basis, because all of a sudden it was back. What if I'm not as smart as I think I am? What if I'm not as smart as they think I am? What if this was a mistake? What if it was all there? And so I did what I know how to do. I worked like a fiend. I worked and worked. I'm not the smartest bulb on the porch, but by golly, I'll put my work ethic up against anybody's. I worked, I learned, I worked and worked and worked. And for years as a middle-aged person, that's what I did. I worked and I ate. I ate and I worked. I worked and I ate. I didn't develop relationships. I had a best friend who stuck with me no matter what. God love her. God rest her soul. She died 2 years ago. But I just worked. I worked. And when I wasn't working, I ate. And I ate like I drank. And I'm one of those people who loves the big book. I love Bill's story because I ate like Bill drank. I ate all the time. When I wasn't asleep and I didn't get up in the middle of the night to go to the refrigerator, but if I was awake, I ate. And I couldn't figure out why I kept putting on all this weight because I would lose tremendous amounts of weight. For 15 years, that's what I did. Lose a lot of weight, gain it back, lose a lot of weight, gain it back. And I couldn't figure out how I kept coming back because I have never been a volume eater. As a matter of fact, I used to be quite judgmental about such people. Oh my God, look at all that food pile out on their plate. I've never been a volume eater in that way, but I just ate all the time. I just ate every hour that I was awake. I snacked and snacked and snacked. Once I got off the 6 quarts of coffee a day and pack of cigarettes, because that was my food plan for years until middle age, I drank 6 quarts of coffee a day and I smoked a pack of cigarettes. When those two things went away because they were killing me, that's the only reason I gave them up, because I'm motivated by pain. All of a sudden, the food was there, and food is legal, and it's what used to be relatively inexpensive. But more than anything, it was always there. My only meaningful relationships were with my work. Notice I didn't say the people at work, the work and my achieving. And striving and achieving some more and one promotion after another and moving, 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 being one of those to watch, all that stuff that seems so important and now doesn't, as I am 28 days away from retirement. And I look back and I went, my God, I gave all those years of my precious, wonderful life to achieving success, to ambition-driven. Now, I'll be honest, the cash and prizes was nice. I'm retiring quite comfortably. Just bought a house by myself, lovely little house in another state. So that's nice. But people, I bought a little bit more house than I need. Why? Because I look forward to having people in my home. I already have a long list of people who are coming to visit me in my home in retirement out in the country. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to making a beautiful place for me and a beautiful place for people to come. If you want to get away from the city, if you're sick of the suburbs, come out to my lovely little country home. We'll hang out together. If you need rest and you want somebody who will not speak to you for 3 days, I'm the introvert you want in your life. Come, come with me to the country. This is what I have not done. So, in June of 2021, when I realized I couldn't do this by myself, I didn't want to come here, did not want to be here, because I knew it was going to be mostly women, and I don't trust women. And I just didn't want another 12-step program in my life. But the greatest gift I have been given with my disease of more and being forced to seek recovery in 12 steps because I want an abundant life. I didn't come for the vanity, by the way. I have arthritis from the top of my spine all the way to my toes. It runs on my father's side of the family. There's no area of my body that is not arthritic. And I found out in February that both hips and both knees need replacing. So that will be my first task as a retired person, is to get my left hip replaced in October. But I was just in so much pain. I was just in so much pain. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that carrying around a whole other human being on this frame was not helping my arthritis. 130 pound, that's another woman. That's an adult woman. I'm carrying around two people on this frame. I hurt so badly, physically. But I didn't know the depths of the emotional and social pain. I was feeling an emptiness that I wasn't willing to even admit to with that food and all that work. If I just kept busy, if I just kept busy, if I just kept going, if I just kept going, I didn't have to feel the loss of my son. I mean, we want them to grow up and go away, but it's still hard. And I had lived for that kid. I was a single parent all those years. And for a lot of those years, I struggled to make a good life for us. And then he was gone. And the marriage didn't work out. That was gone. Just all this loss, all this grief that I did not want to even think about, let alone feel. And there's a fourth step. And there's a fifth step. And there was stuff there that I just had no idea. I had no idea it was there. I didn't even know it was there. And I have met the most wonderful people in OA. I have met the most wonderful women, and I have wonderful women friends in OA whom I trust dearly and deeply. It's been such a gift again. I got into service when I got here because I didn't want to be here, as I said. And so I knew what I needed to do, because if I commit to something, by golly, I'm going to do it. Right? That's how you succeed. You succeed by making commitments and then show it up. So I made commitments, and I volunteered to be the speaker getter and then a speaker getter coordinator, because I came in on the 9 p.m. 100 pounder line, phone lines, and I became a speaker getter because that forced me to use the phone to reach out to people to connect. I made myself do the thing that I definitely did not want to do. And it saved my life. It saved my life. My highest weight that I ever saw on a scale was 291, but that was before COVID. I can tell you the date. It was the first Saturday, actually, it was 2 days after the first Saturday of March in 2020, because I was at an event, a gala, and somebody sent me a picture on Monday. And that was the first time I ever cried. Because of the way I looked, I couldn't believe how huge I was. I just couldn't believe that person was me. So I got on the scale and it was 291. That was March of 2020. Do you think maybe I gained a little weight over the next few months? Do you think in the lockdown, maybe I might have gained? So, I mean, I'm sure I was over 300 pounds when I came in here. I must have been. There's no way that I was 291 before COVID happened and didn't gain a pound. So, I just kept saying, how did this happen? How did this happen? How did this happen? I'm a person who believes that it doesn't matter how I got here or why I got here. What matters is what's happened since I've gotten here. And when I first heard the OA promise, I thought, if that isn't the hokiest bunch of words somebody put together, my gracious. And today I am one of those people who just says at the end, beyond our wildest dreams. It is hokey, but it is so true. Credits do not transfer. I heard that early on. And I thought, okay, fine, whatever. I'll work these steps again. Working the steps is such a joy because I want to be happy, joyous, and free. But more than anything, what I understand my life to be about is being of maximum service to my fellows. Why? Because I have a relationship with the God of my understanding. My life is so grace-filled. I should be dead based on my previous lifestyle. My lifestyle as a young adult wasn't the worst of the worst, but it was rather, I mean, I did a lot of booze and drugs. I did illegal stuff. I shouldn't be a free woman walking around. But when I was in my 30s and 40s, I had all these wonderful older friends, and I thought these women were old because, they were like 65. And they poured into me. And I remember thinking, I want to be like them when I grow up. And I've grown up to be like those women. It's a wonderful thing. And not because of what I do, but because of who I am. Somehow I've become I'm still an introvert, but somehow where along the way I fell in love with people. Somewhere along the way I came to understand that, you know what? On some level, we're all assholes. And I am the chief asshole. Can I just accept that about myself and about others and know that, some days are better than others, but every day that I can shine light into someone's darkness, that I can give anything, any little thing to someone else's life that is about hope. That's what 12-step recovery is about for me. I say all the time that I'm in 12-step recovery because I want to be free, because I have been bound by so many things. I want to be free. I want to be free from that, from the incomprehensible demoralization of being deep in the disease. But I also want to be free for. And what is the for? And so this past 4 years has been about building on what the for is. Free for what? Free for service, free for giving, free for generosity, free for abundance, free for all of that, free to make decisions that are based on my well-being instead of the food. One of the things I started hearing early on was compulsive food behaviors. And I thought, what is that? Could you all say a little more about the compulsive food behaviors? It took me a while to wrap my mind around that. And now I have a better idea about it. But just the idea that I can make decisions about whether or not I'll participate in something that has nothing to do with whether or not they're feeding me there. When I think about all the crappy things I went to just because they had some stupid continental breakfast and I headed straight for the box with the little round things in it and the 6 quarts of coffee. Or because they had a box lunch. I mean, I would sign up for something because there was going to be a box lunch. When I see box lunches today, I'm like, who cares? It is the most dull thing in the world, the stupid box lunch. But that's all it took for me to give 4 hours of my life in the past. And I didn't even take all of that. It was always about the food. Was there going to be food? And I'm one of those people who, as I am putting this in my mouth, I'm thinking about the next one. As I'm eating this meal, I'm thinking about the next one. As I'm eating this entree, I'm thinking about the dessert because that's where my brain goes when it is sick on substances. And so here I am in Overeaters Anonymous, looking, I hope, and I have not relapsed in this program yet. I like to feel like I did my relapsing before I got here with all of that compulsive losing and gaining and losing and gaining. I don't want to do that anymore. And I still have another 50 pounds to go to get to my weight goal. But this time I have done it in a sane, healthy way, such that the surgeon's looking forward to replacing my hips and my knees now because I've done the work to get to where I need to get to in order to improve the quality of my life so that I can have a wonderful quality of life in this third of life. That's what sociologists are calling it now because we're living so much longer. They talk about the three-thirds of life. And with however many years I have left as I approach my 69th birthday, I want them to be love-filled. And I'm moving to the country, and the nearest in-person meeting where I'm moving to is a 46-minute drive. Thank God for virtual meetings. So I will be seeing you all in these Hollywood squares. Thank you for letting me share.